Okay, thank you. Moving on to number 10, 2360, in regards to Vicki Harris, DVM. Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Did you want, the summary is the same for all three cases. Do you want me to go ahead and just read the summary for the three pack?
Yep, that sounds good.
So 2360 is Vicki Harris, 2361 is Christopher Dordo, and 2362 is Lauren Landman. But we'll start with the 2360. Dr. Harris, the complainant is Chelsea McGuire. On November 29, 2022, Mac, a one-year-old male standard poodle, was presented to Dr. Harris for vomiting, diarrhea, and eating less for approximately 2 weeks. Complainant approved diagnostics and treatments, including a Varian series. The dog was discharged later that day with instructions to return the next day for a repeat radiograph to ensure if the Varian was continuing to move through the intestines. On November 30, 2022, the dog was presented for repeat radiograph. Dr. Dorio evaluated the dog and did not see any obvious obstruction on the radiographs. Another CBC was performed. Dr. Dorio consulted with Dr. Landman, who later spoke with complainant to get approval for an ACTH stimulation test. Complainant approved and the dog is discharged to complainant. Complainant did not hear back from either Dr. Dorio or Dr. Landman with respect to the accuracy of the blood results from that day. On December 2nd, 2022, the dog was presented to an emergency facility where septic peritonitis was suspected. Exploratory surgery was recommended. Complainant declined and the dog was humanely euthanized. The dog was brought back to Dr. Landman for a necropsy. Dr. Landman found a large mass of intestines stuck together. After separating the intestines, there was a rupture in the ileum. No foreign body was found. Complainant reported that Dr. Landman refused to give her the dog's remains for a refund until she altered her negative online review and paid her bill to the nonprofit organization. And for case 2360, the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board find ARS 322232, number 11, malpractice, treatment in a manner contrary to accepted practices and with injurious results due to no one knowing who was in charge of the case. No discussion or clear transfer of the case to associates. Only one radiographic view was taken of the Varian during the Varian series, which led to the failure to identify the perforated intestine. Failure to identify the perforated intestine on the last radiograph taken of the dog on November 29th. Failure to follow up with the associate veterinarian who would be taking over the care of the dog on November 30th when presented for the follow-up radiograph. The capital approach on the case that was presented critical from the beginning. And the motion was approved with a vote of 3-0. Do you want me to go into the
Okay.
So case 2361, the committee concluded that possible violations had occurred and it was moved and seconded. The board find ARS 322232 number 11, malpractice, treatment in a manner contrary to accepted practices with injurious results. Due to no one knowing who was in charge of the case, no discussion or clear transfer of the case to associates, only one radiographic view taken of the dog, which led to the failure to identify the perforated intestine, failure to identify the perforated intestine, failure to communicate the condition of the dog to the pet owner with respect to the low white blood count, and recommended starting the dog on an antibiotic or further treatment, and failure to provide adequate follow-up to stabilize a critically ill patient. And that motion was approved with a vote of 3-0. And with respect to 2362, the committee concluded possible violations had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board find ARS 322232-11, malpractice, treatment in a manner contrary to accepted practices and with injurious results due to no one knowing who was in charge of the case, no discussion or clear transfer of the case to associates, failure to have proper rounding protocols, only one radiographic view taken of the dog, which led to the failure to identify the perforated intestine, failure to identify the perforated intestine, recommending diagnostics without examining the dog or reviewing the medical record, recommending an ACTH test after prednisone was administered to the dog, failure to provide adequate follow-up to stabilize a critically ill patient, and not knowing who or on what date the radiographs were submitted for AI radiology review as the responsible veterinarian. And ARS 3222-3212, as it relates to Audit 11-511, failure to provide considerate treatment to the pet owner for holding the pet's remains. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Okay, thank you. So again, we're starting with 2360, Dr. Harris, and we do have both the complainant and the respondent and her attorney present. So go ahead and ask for Dr. Harris and your attorney to come forward first. Please state your name for the record, and then I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Good morning, Cynthia Patain. I represent Dr. Harris. Thank you for letting us speak to you today, members of the board. Again, my name is Cynthia Patain, and I represent Dr. Harris. As you know from the summary, this complaint arises out of Dr. Harris's care of Mac, a one-year and 10-month-old standard poodle. She cared for Mac on Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. During her care, she performed a barium series for passable bowel obstruction. The allegation now is that she was negligent because she did not identify a bowel perforation on the last x-ray taken. I should mention that I don't know if this is something that is at issue or not. The last time Dr. Harris appeared before the board, she had just been discharged from the hospital, and some of her recollection was off as to the dates. And I believe she told you that she was at the clinic on Thursday, December 1st, and that's not correct. She was only there on Tuesday, the 29th. She was not there on Wednesday, the 30th, Thursday, December 1st, and then she came back on Friday, December 2nd. So again, I don't know if you needed that timeline, but I did want to clarify that. As you know, negligence is the failure to use reasonable care. In reviewing the chart and talking to Dr. Harris and looking at based on the circumstances that were before her and what she knew at the time on Tuesday, November 29th, there was reasonable care provided on that date. The lateral views were the only views that were ordered because it was customary at this clinic, which was a low-cost clinic. The bowel perforation that was diagnosed on Friday, December 2nd, and a postmortem performed by Dr. Landman shortly thereafter revealed the presence of adhesions at the site of the perforation that have trapped the barium. But when Dr. Harris saw Mac on Tuesday, November 29th, she was unaware of the adhesions. And the adhesions trapping the barium created the appearance to her that it was moving through the intestines, and she wasn't able to detect that it was actually exiting through the perforation. Bowel perforation is rare, and it should be noted that Dr. Dordo and Dr. Landman reviewed the x-rays as well as providing care to Mac on Wednesday, November 30th, and reviewing the care and being involved again on Thursday, December 1st. And neither one of those practitioners diagnosed a bowel perforation either. So there's three practitioners here who didn't see it, which supports the position that Dr. Harris is taking that this wasn't something that was evident on the x-rays. It was an unusual presentation, and it could be reasonable to miss a bowel perforation under those circumstances. The clinical presentation pointed away from perforation. Mac was at the clinic all day on Tuesday. He wasn't in the kennel, and Dr. Harris was able to observe him throughout the day, getting up and down without apparent discomfort, and he wasn't in distress. His abdomen was not distended, it was not rigid, and it was not painful. His presentation was more consistent with a gastroenteritis or inflammatory bowel disease because it was something that had been going on for several weeks per the owner's report of the history. Dr. Lordo and Dr. Landman also thought this was something more chronic given that they tested for Addison's the following day. It was reasonable under these circumstances for Dr. Harris to send Mac home with prednisone based upon her belief that the perforation or an obstruction had been ruled out. The transition of care here was also reasonable. Dr. Harris's custom and practice was to leave the chart on a cart for patients who would be returning the next day, and she recalls doing that here. She followed her own custom and habit in that situation. She also spoke to Dr. Dorto on Tuesday and said, Mac is coming back for the final x-ray tomorrow. Dr. Dorto was aware of Mac's case because he had been there all day on Tuesday. So under those circumstances, the transition was reasonable for Dr. Harris. We know that Dr. Dorto did assume the care on Wednesday because he examined Mac. Based on his notes, he actually found a worsening presentation and condition. But there's a physical exam documented by Dr. Dorto the following day. He also communicated with Dr. Lamman about the case and the owner, and then they were both on duty again on Thursday. So the transition, in retrospect, does appear to have occurred. And from Dr. Harris's standpoint, it was reasonable. Her actions were reasonable. So for those reasons, we are asking that you do not find that there was negligence here based on the perforation having an unusual appearance on the imaging, the care provided by Dr. Harris that day being reasonable, and the transition also being reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have anything, Jen? Okay, can we both go ahead and step back?
Thank you.
And we do have the complainant present, Chelsea McGuire, if you'd like to come forward. There. Please state your name for the record, and then I can give you up to 5 minutes to speak.
Chelsea McGuire.
Thank you.
This has just been a horrible experience. My kids are so affected by this. I think my biggest thing, like, I know mistakes happen, I know things get missed, but the way that it was handled, you know, afterwards, even up until now, still with the vet bills that we're getting that we already paid, it's just been an awful experience, and I don't think that anybody really took accountability for the mistake. And then when we came in for the investigation and they said that, you know, there was protocols that weren't followed, like the amount of radiographs, the Addison's disease test done after the prednisone, it just hurt more to know that there were more mistakes that were made and that this possibly could have been avoided. When, you know, she says that we had talked to Dr. Dorto previously. I didn't talk to him until Thursday. From the day that we brought him home, the first day, he had worsened. He could not even walk out of that clinic. I had to pick him up physically and carry him to the car. He was not doing better. I even verbalized that, you know, he looks worse than when I brought him in. He's getting worse. On Wednesday, he's getting worse. I called Thursday, told him he's getting worse. I was just not given any kind of, like, he was critical, and they didn't give him the timely care that he needed. So he ended up just essentially dying over those 3 days and worsening after the barium study. So it really hurts to know that, you know, you take your dog to a professional hoping that you're gonna get care for them, and you try and trust their professional judgment, and then to hear that he didn't get the care that he needed, it's hard. So we don't know if it could have been avoided, if he could have survived, but I think he would have had a better chance had he gotten the care that he needed. And when she mentions that it was a low cost clinic, I was willing to pay for my animal. I was willing to pay if he was getting the treatment that he needed, not just, oh, let's do an Addison disease test, let's do this. That was the only reason why I was hesitant, because I said, you know, what is the probability that this is going to help him? And she said she didn't know. So that was my hesitant on wanting to pay for the services, but I paid all of my bills and I paid them all up front. So for her to say, I know Dr. Lamont says that I declined exploratory surgery because of the cost. She told me, your x-rays are clear. There's nothing going on in his stomach that suggests that he has any kind of obstruction or perforation. So I said, why would I need exploratory surgery if you're telling me they're clear? She says, yeah, you know, let's do the Addison's disease test. So I thought that was our next course of treatment. And then to hear that that could have possibly made him worse is hard. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. We're so sorry for the loss of Matt. You can go ahead and step back now. Dr. Nosley is the lead. So do you want to go ahead and do one at a time here?
I think doing them one at a time is going to confuse the issue. Is it possible to hear from all three respondents and then discuss them as one total case?
Yeah, is that okay, Mark?
I would like to hear from all three, but I think we should discuss them individually.
Yes.
Because I have different concerns on
each one. I meant hear from them before we have any
discussion. Yes, sorry, I misunderstood.
Okay, sounds good. So let's go ahead and have Dr. Christopher Dordo and your attorney, Ms. Richardson, if you'd like to come forward. Thank you for being here. If you'll both state your name for the record, and then I can give you up to 5 minutes to speak.
My name is Rain Richardson. I'm the attorney for Dr. Christopher Dordo.
Okay. My name is Christopher Dordo, DBO.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. Just a few brief comments. The dog in this case, Mac, presented to the clinic on November 29th, 2022, and was originally seen by Dr. Harris for a possible obstruction. Dr. Harris ordered an x-ray, reviewed that x-ray, and noted in the dog's chart that there was no leakage or blockage, and that the barium was moving through the dog's intestines. The dog returned to the office the next day on November 30th and was seen by Dr. Dordo. Dr. Dordo reviewed Dr. Harris's note in the dog's records, indicating that barium was moving through the intestine. He also looked at the x-ray and cannot see an obvious obstruction or perforation. On November 30th, he also took another x-ray, and that x-ray was consistent with the x-ray from the day before. However, because the dog was still presenting with symptoms, Dr. Dordo referred the dog to Dr. Lanman for a surgical consult. In response, Dr. Lanman informed Dr. Dordo and that she, Dr. Lanman, had talked to the patient's owner after Dr. Dordo saw the dog, and Dr. Lanman ordered some more blood tests and took the dog's medical records. Based on Dr. Lanman's actions and past dealings with her, Dr. Dordo reasonably believed that he transferred the care of this dog to Dr. Lanman, the owner and supervising veterinarian for the clinic, for exploratory surgery. Dr. Dordo believed that Dr. Lanman would make the necessary decisions to care for the dog once he transferred the care to her, including deciding whether or not exploratory surgery or antibiotics were necessary from that point forward. Based on these facts and information, Dr. Dordo respectfully requests that this claim be dismissed or in the alternative that it be issued a letter of concern.
Okay, thank you. You may both step back unless you wanted to add anything.
Can I ask one quick question?
Sure. I think that's...
Because it might change where we go with these cases, so just one question. It was said earlier that it was standard practice to do one lateral film. Is that what you did as your repeat film?
That is a good question. It was common for this practice to do one view based on low cost. And I did one view, and then I ran a blood work panel too, aside from what my lawyer said, and I transferred the case at that point for a consultation. So two views were not taken after I did some initial workup.
Was there any discussion about adding a second view with the owner?
There was no further discussion that I remember.
Okay, thank you.
And again, Ms. Chelsea McGuire, you are welcome after each person speaks. If you have anything further you want to add, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, I could go ahead and bring up Dr. Lanman next as well. Okay? All right, thanks. So now if Dr. Lanman and her attorney would like to come forward, right, again, same drill. If you guys will both announce your name for the record, and then I can give you up to 5 minutes. And I know that you have a couple of other folks here today from your practice that also wanted to speak. Is that correct?
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
We'll try and keep it. I'm happy to give you each time to speak. Try and keep it, you know, a reasonable time frame.
Yeah, I'll just have just a few remarks, and then I'll turn it over to Dr. Lehman, and then also Julie, and also George are going to be speaking.
Okay. Great, thank you.
So, good morning. My name is Armand Nafisi. I'm the attorney for Dr. Lehman in this case. And I just want to let the board know that I've only been Dr. Lehman's counsel for less than 48 hours. And so, you know, I've done my best to, you know, get as best prepared as I can for this hearing. But unfortunately, you know, Dr. Lehman has not had the benefit of having a fully, completely briefed attorney for this case. I know she did request from the board that her hearing be postponed to a later date, but the board did deny that request. So we're here, and we're going to do our best to present the facts as we know them. Okay. So the investigative committee found that Dr. Lehman was the treating veterinarian, the responsible veterinarian for the care of Mac, and that's simply not true. Mac first presented on November 29th and was seen by Dr. Harris. In fact, Dr. Lehman wasn't even working that day. That was her off day, and so she wasn't even seen. Mac was seen by Dr. Harris on the 29th. And then the next day, on the 30th, Mac presented again and was seen by Dr. Dordo. And the transition was clear from Dr. Harris to Dr. Dordo. It was never, the care was never exclusively provided by a technician. Mac was always under the care of a veterinarian, first on the 29th by Dr. Harris, and then on the 30th by Dr. Dordo. And Dr. Dordo was the treating veterinarian for Mac on the 30th. Dr. Lehman's only involvement in this case, other than viewing an x-ray, was a conversation that she had with Mac's owner. And she talked to Mac's owner about some of the symptoms and issues Mac was having. And after having that discussion, and of course she reviewed an x-ray, she recommended an ACTH test be done. But other than doing that, Dr. Lehman did not have any involvement. And I know the ACTH test recommendation was identified as an area of malpractice by the investigative committee. The ACTH test did not cause or contribute to Mac's death at all. Essentially, it was harmless error. And so, you know, there's no harm, you know, by recommending the ACTH test here. And at no point in time, I know Dr. Dordo's counsel mentioned it, that the care was transferred over to Dr. Lehman on the 30th. That never happened. The Mac was in the full care of Dr. Dordo at all relevant times on the 30th. And finally, I know there's an allegation about Dr. Lehman allegedly withholding Mac's remains from her owner, and that's simply not true. Dr. Lehman provided Mac's remains to her owner upon request, and in fact gave a full refund to the owner. You know, it's heartbreaking when, you know, you lose your pet. You know, that's a loved one, the family, and Dr. Lehman, you know, was, you know, obviously upset about that, and the owner got a full refund, and that was initiated by Dr. Lehman. So in conclusion, I would recommend that the board dismiss the complaint as to Dr. Lehman only, because she wasn't the treating veterinarian here. Alternatively, if the board does not dismiss the case, I would recommend a letter of concern in connection with the ACTH test that was recommended. And just one last thing about the ACTH test that was recommended. Dr. Lehman did advise the owner that prednisone could interfere with the test. So she did advise the owner of that. But like I said, the ACTH test did not cause or contribute to Mac's death. It was harmless error. And that's all I have, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Landman.
Lorna Landman. Yes, the first that I knew of anything about this case, I received a, I was working the shift 10 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And while I was at home, I received a text message of a x-ray asking from one of the technicians, it said, Dr. Dorda wants to know if this is bloat. And I wrote back and I said, no, it's not bloat. And then when I arrived at the at our office, I was told I had 8 surgeries that morning, and an emergency perineal hernia had come in the day before. So now we're really slammed with surgeries. So I and a full schedule of appointments after the surgeries. So I had no time or any kind of ability to take on another case. And although I'm extremely upset that this did happen, but I went up to the front to get a record for one of the surgeries, and the receptionist up there, CSR, told me Mrs. McGuire was there and had been there for a long time, and Dr. Dorda wouldn't talk to her. Would I please go talk to her? So I said, I don't really have time. And she said, well, please go talk to her. So I went up and sat down next to her, and I said, you know, I really don't know what's going on with your dog. I haven't reviewed anything other than I've seen the one x-ray. But, you know, what's the history here? What's happened? And she said, well, the dog had been sick for a couple of weeks. And I said, well, did it start with vomiting or diarrhea? And she said, well, it started with diarrhea. And I said, well, your doodle is pretty thin. I did see the dog as when I walked in. And she said, yeah, he only weighed like 37 pounds. And I said, for a full-grown doodle, that's pretty thin or pretty skinny. And she said, he's a full-blooded poodle. And I said, well, poodles are notorious for having Addison's disease. Did anyone ever talk to you about Addison's? And she said, no. And I said, well, maybe we should check that out. And she said, I said, what medications have been you given? And she said, well, I gave the antibiotics, and I just gave one prednisone for the first time this morning, right before I came. And I said, well, prednisone can interfere with an ACTH stem test. But if, since there was a lot of barium in the stomach and you just gave it, let's hurry up and get the stem test going, and maybe we can, and you know, it won't interfere. And I did talk to an IDEX specialist afterwards, and she told me that, yeah, she agreed that with that much barium in the stomach and the intestines, it could possibly, you know, slow down absorption, but we don't know. But at least that high amount of cortisol that we received back was not, you know, as a result of that one prednisone. So, and that's what, when Dr. Dorio brought that test results to me, I told him, I said, well, we know the dog is not pichinoid, so it's got to be a severe stress. So you've got to find out what's going on. Which is the same thing I asked him about, or I advised him when he showed me the CBC, which is that the white blood cell count and the neutrophils were extremely low. I said, well, they're going somewhere. You've got to find out where they're going. And that was my involvement in this case.
The case was never transferred to you, right?
No, I did not have time to take on another case with those 8 surgeries. We didn't even get done with the surgeries until 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
But I also have...
Sorry, I just want you guys to wrap it up, though.
Okay.
Yes. Well, but I did want to just say I have this on my phone. It says, December 7th, 1:33 p.m. Hi, Dr. Landman. Just checking in on Max Ashes and the refund whenever you get the chance.
Yeah. We have that. We have those copies.
And his ashes should be back on Friday.
Do we have time for Jordan just to make a very brief statement, and then Julie to make a very brief statement?
That's fine.
Thank you.
Okay, if you'll just state, yes, sorry.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Sure.
Staff, before we hear the next witnesses.
Okay.
Who is the responsible veterinarian for the premise?
Is it Dr.?
It's Dr. Lannan.
Thank you. So I just want to make sure that was clear.
Sure. Jordan, go ahead and state your name for the record.
Good morning. I'm Jordan Lee. Thank you for your time this morning. I am one of Pets Vet's technicians. I was working as our backroom technician on November 30th when Mac was in our care. I got in at about 7:40 that morning. Shortly after I got in, I was alerted that Mac was there for his follow-up with Dr. Dordo for his barium study x-rays. My initial experience with Mac was that he was in our lobby, very lethargic, not moving. We had to carry him back for his x-rays. We performed his x-rays. Dr. Dordo got in about 8:40. I asked him several times to review the x-rays, and then he asked me to please send the x-rays to Dr. Lannan and have her opinion on whether it was bloat or not. She responded, as she stated earlier, that it was not bloat. Dr. Lannan was not the active doctor on the case. As she said, we had 7 surgeries that day, 8 surgeries actually. We had an emergency added on that day. I was not the active technician on it, as I was the back treatment person. And Dr. Dordo actually forged our signatures on the exam sheet, as we had no active role in his case except for some x-rays that I took. And Dr. Lannan was in surgery, so she was not the active doctor. Over the course of the day, I did ask Dr. Dordo about his patient that was in the treatment area several times. It was very hard to get any information as of treatment or if he talked to the owner that day. Most of the time when I could get a response out of him, he referred it back to Dr. Lannan and said, well, ask Dr. Lannan what she thinks, but she was in surgery, so I couldn't really ask her what she thought. Most of the day, I was either logging anesthesia for Dr. Lannan's surgery patients or caring for her patients coming out of surgery, so I did not have an active role in Mac's case. I did try to check in on him and try to get Dr. Dordo to check in with him, and then by the end of the day, it was basically I had to find Dr. Dordo to ask him what was going on with his patient, if he was getting discharged, or if we were continuing treatment. To which he stated that the pet could be discharged, but again, to double check with Dr. Lannan, even though she had no involvement in the case.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You may step back, and then see, it looks like Julie Jennings. Okay, state your name for the record.
Julie Jennings.
Thank you.
Morning, thank you for allowing us to speak today, and I just want to say this is a tragic case on all counts. The entire practice has been impacted by this, and we really feel terrible about what happened. Once Mac Macias passed, I'm the practice manager, so I handled all the administration and the refund process and getting the cremains process, etc. We have to go through corporate because we're now owned by a corporate entity. So given the mishandling of this case by Dr. Dordo, it was always our intention, once we knew what had happened, to refund 100% of the monies paid by the owner and the Good Samaritan who had donated to this case. By the time Ms. Macias, or I'm sorry, she's not going by Macias, what is she, her last name? Apologies, we have
the complainant is McGuire.
McGuire, okay, yep. So we have Mac Macias in the system for some reason. By the time she started her online slander campaign, I'd already gotten approval from corporate to refund the money and arrange for the cremation and paw prints, including an extra one at no charge whatsoever. So we contacted our cremation partner, at that time it was Pals, and they picked Mac up and returned the cremains on the same week, at which time we contacted the owner and she came and picked them up, including the 2 paw prints, at no charge. And at no time whatsoever was the inaccurate charge that we withheld the cremains true, as we had 100% always intended and communicated that she could obtain them at no charge to her once returned by our cremation partner, which is what we did. So I respectfully request that my testimony be entered into the permanent record for this case, and I thank you for your time.
And I just have one comment. You noted corporate, you made some decisions. Who's corporate?
Western Veterinary Partners and Pets That went into partnership almost 3 years ago.
And they were responsible for the premises, right?
Okay. Yes, they are.
Thank you. Sorry, I have to jump in here because we were like, we're really the ones asking the questions at this point. So you can both step back. And I did want to give Ms. McGuire, if you'd like to come forward again, and I can give you a few more moments to speak, if there was anything further you wanted to add.
So I already had paid the emergency vet for cremation and remains. I let Dr. Lamon know that when she asked me to bring his body back for the necropsy. So I wasn't getting anything free out of that or anything by her saying that, oh, we covered the cremation remains. I had already paid for that at the other office and I couldn't get that back. So she was doing that because I had already paid for it somewhere else. Also, the online slander campaign that she mentions, all I did was write about my experience when somebody asked for a vet in the area. There's nothing that I wrote that wasn't true, that didn't happen. And it was after that was told to Dr. Lamon that she decided to send me those text messages. As you can see by them going back and forth, nobody really knew what was going on with this care. Nobody wants to take responsibility still, even to this day. I'm still receiving bills from them. So for her to say that the whole clinic knows about this and they're all aware of everything, I've written to them, emailed a couple times, that I'm still receiving bills for that aren't don't have any kind of itemization of what I'm being charged for, just a total. And I've asked them to please stop sending me bills. I've already paid you. Still sending bills. So there's some kind of lack of communication going on at this facility, like for sure. And I just, I really feel like everybody's just kind of pushing it off on the next person and nobody's taking any accountability for it.
Okay, thank you, Ms. McGuire. Okay, Dr. Nosley, you are the lead on all three of these.
Okay. I know Dr. James would like to talk to them about each case individually, but in summary, well, we had the recommendation of malpractice by all three respondents, and alleging that a critical patient did not receive proper care and contributed to the patient's death. We have three respondents with different perspectives, and in some cases, conflicting testimony and narratives. There are communication issues in this case. The investigative committee, I don't even think, had the text messages, and I think they are definitely germane to this case. The testimony actually includes admissions of failures, mm-hmm. and we've heard it here. There are issues with the diagnostics, and including the performance and the interpretation of those diagnostics, medical records issues, a lot of things to discuss with the respondents, and if anyone would like to discuss the individual cases, we can do that now before making any kind of motions.
I think the case and why I wanted to separate them out is I on 1129, so with Dr. Harris, or 2360, sorry, with Dr. Harris, that occurred on 1129. It seems like from that review, certainly you can look at some things in hindsight that you're like, we could have done that differently or we could have done this differently. But I didn't really see anything that jumped out at me as below the standard of care. It was at that point she leaves the clinic, hands the case over, and that has been admitted. Even Dr. Dordo admitted he got the case from her. Like, and she's out of the office for the next 2 days, and I just don't see where her involvement in this continues. I have significant concern about what happens at that point forward. Okay. But so that's why I was like, I kind of feel her a little bit different.
Separate, yeah. In regards to that, I agree with the, she only had the involvement for that first day, but there are significant issues there. The patient not being recognized as critical, febrile, receiving basically minimal care, the diagnostics too, and how they were performed. So while I agree she passed on the case and didn't have any involvement, I think there were definitely issues with the respondent in 2360. So I would generally consider that to be demonstrative of a failure to perform proper medical procedures.
Yes, I just had a point of correction for something that was stated, and I appreciate the fact that the attorney is new, but a corporation is not responsible for the practice of veterinary medicine on any premise. It's the responsibility of the responsible veterinarian, which in this case was Dr. Landman, per staff.
I just personally, there's so much going on between these three cases and hearing everyone today. I have a feeling they're so interwoven and there's gonna be so many questions. I personally would like to see all three go to an informal. I'll just throw that out there. I'm not sure how everybody else feels, but maybe we can. There's just a lot more discussion to be had next time. So unless anybody else has anything.
Ready for a motion? Okay. I would make a motion to move case 2360 to informal.
Second.
Second. Okay. Motion and a second to move case 2360 to an informal. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Nay.
Okay. We have one nay on that. Okay. Next.
And then I would make a motion to move case 2361 to informal.
Second.
A motion and a second to move case 2361 to an informal. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
And then a motion to move case 2362 to informal.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second to move case 2362 to an informal as well. Again, if no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, thanks everyone for being here.
Madam Chair,
I have another question. Do we need a motion or just a direction to staff that the three get scheduled at this for the same day? So that they're not being spread out over multiple board meetings.
Yes. Yeah, these are so intertwined.
Yes. Exactly.
They have to be heard at the
yes.
same time.
Agreed.
If at all possible.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you.